We got music.
Welcome to the Just Talk with Sam podcast. We're going to do something different. Now, starting in the month of June, we're going to try to do this every so often and highlight some of the most interesting people I know. We're going to get some pretty decent guests in here. And kicking it off is one of the most interesting dudes I know. My god brother Nate, I gotta say, this guy, old as hell, he's been doing it since day one, he's hell of a father, hell of a man, the welterweight mama's boy champion of the world, and out of all of this, he has a story to tell, one of the most fashionable cats I know, when it comes down to this guy, so we're gonna spend an hour talking with him. Also, one of the things I want to throw out, my man who revolutionized khakis. I talk about his fashion sense, but this guy, I'm showing my age when I say this, in the early 90s when khakis was back on the rise, he brought them back. I remember a day when khakis were for animal experts and child rapists. But he was a visionary. He didn't want to fuck kids, and he didn't know shit about cobras. But somehow, he wanted to wear khakis. Welcome to the show, Nate. What's up, man?
Hello, world.
You look good, man. You lost weight since the time I saw you, man.
Yes, I did.
You hit the gym.
I had to, because the jacket that is on your chair in the dining room.
Yeah.
It's a made-to-measure, full custom. You can't even find that fabric anymore. Valentino blazer. It retailed at $6,895. and I couldn't fit it anymore. So, yeah. Some things will motivate you to lose weight.
I hear you. Last time I saw you, yeah, breast. You were a budding teenage girl. You were. Now, we go ahead to spot
on. Could you please leave my man boobs out of this?
But you got them back. You got your pecs back. That helps. One of the things I want to talk about is one of the hugest misconceptions. First of all, before I even jump into our misconceptions.
Yes, sir.
Huge apology.
For?
Mainly because I totally ripped off your show. Minus the drinking. Minus the actually knowing shit. Minus, you know, having female interaction. This is just your blog. Ask Nate blog.
It's asknate.webs.com.
Yeah, see, no one went to your blog because you were serious and you knew what the hell you were talking about.
This is true.
You needed liquor, cool introductions.
Mm-hmm. I saved 3 marriages on my website, by the way.
I may have destroyed 5. And that's one of the biggest.
Again, that's asknate.
We'll plug your shit in a minute. But one of the biggest misconceptions about me and you,
yes,
is the fact that you were me. That's what makes us cool. That's what makes my brother interesting. He was just as crazy as me, and still is. But somehow, people don't see the shit. He's suave. He's cool. He's debonair and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just your opposite. I'm your doppelganger of what you used to be. We could talk about a lot of things. I want to talk about
we start that, I just want to officially go on record and say that I beat Shooty up on his own block in front of his own house with his mama and daddy on the porch.
You sure did. Now, you just said something for 4 people to know about.
I'm just saying, for those of y'all that don't know Shooty,
granted, my tens of fans that's listening,
Jermaine is
my older brother,
is Sam's older brother, and Jermaine right now is like
probably listening
6'3", 6'4", maybe like 400, like maybe 230, 240, 90 pounds, somewhere between 200 and 300. He's a big guy, and you know, I'm a slender fella. And, yeah, I beat him up. And he was not that size when I did, but that does not
disqualify you from
that. I whooped his ass in front of his mama. And I just want to say that. Shout out to Mama Margot. I love you.
You do realize, just because you said that, now you have finagled a way for his ass to get on the bike as well.
But he can.
Well, he will. He'll be back soon.
And I'll be, 636 miles away when he does. So it's all good. But Jermaine, I beat your ass. I remember.
We talked about the fashion thing. We talked about the parent thing. Mainly, I want to hit all of these topics because that's the route I'm headed.
Okay.
I'm about to get married. You've been married. You did that. You done that.
Yes.
Now you are a dedicated bachelor.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
Just for the record, I want all the listeners to know that I was in the Army 5 years, married, divorced, and had 2 children all before the age of 25. So all of you slackers out there, I'm just wondering what is your hold up.
Well, see, that's what I want to hit because, like I said,
and look good doing it all.
Me and you are a lot alike. But you hide it behind the suits. I don't wear a lot of suits. You do. So, okay.
That's why I'm Superman.
Here's where the crazy question come in.
Clark Kent?
Probably. But we'll see. We'll see how fucking Clark Kent you are in a minute.
Okay.
Every guest has to answer a question so I can test their own insanity.
Okay.
Because something got to be a fucking disconnect with you just to be on my show.
Very true.
So, here's the question. You're in a gym.
Okay.
With infinite amount of 6-year-olds.
Mistake number 3.
From different races, creeds, colors. They're all 6, but they come from different backgrounds, different shapes, different sizes.
Right.
How many 6-year-olds can you kill before they overpower you? Using nothing about just what you're wearing. You have no weapons.
Right.
How many 6-year-olds can you kill before they overpower you and kill you?
Every last one in the room because I'm a dad and I have a belt.
Infinite.
I have a belt, and okay. I'm a father. It's something about a dad that scares the hell out of kids. And the ones that are not scared of their father, because whether they know him or not, you know, any dad that is a dad will beat your kid's ass, whether he's your kid or not.
See,
so I could get everybody. See, everybody get it.
That's how I know you just crazy me. You just voluntarily gave a number of how many kids you will kill, and the number was infinite.
Yeah.
You just kill kids.
Yeah.
No rationalization. You give a fuck. But that, I want to talk about that, because I talk about you're an A-plus parent. You can somehow,
Thank you, sir.
Do this father of the year shit all the time. This shit is not an act. I want to know, because sooner or later I'm going to be going down that line, and you usually go through lines I pass. Where does that line come? Where does the unselfishness come when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, fuck me, man. Fuck my hopes,
right.
My dreams,
right.
Everything I got going on for me. Because I don't got that right now.
Mm-hmm.
My kid's going to be shit out of luck. I love me. Where does the fuck my hopes, dreams, I'm doing it for them.
Right.
I don't have that. So where do you just set aside everything about you, player, the player shit in you? I've seen you with your kids. You're Bill Cosby. There's no player in you. You have Puddin' Pops. You're running around. You're wiping noses. But you're good at it. Where does the fuck Nate come in? Where does that happen?
It comes in, for me personally, it came in on September the 7th of 1998.
Okay. Tell me, for those who don't know, what is that day?
That is my daughter's birthday.
Okay.
And I was 22 when she was born.
Uh-huh.
I was fortunate enough to marry my high school sweetheart. And to
keep, we'll jump in that in a second.
To keep the whole sweetheart thing rolling, we conceived our daughter on our wedding night. My daughter was born exactly 39 weeks later to the day. So when my daughter got there, it kind of was still about me. You know, before my daughter was actually born, but we didn't know her sex. Didn't know what she was, because every time we got an ultrasound done, she would never open her legs. Thank God. I hope she stays that way. And
Shut up. I'm just gonna throw it at you, man.
And
it's happening.
And
it's gonna happen.
Whatever.
You have to shoot someone. It's gonna happen. You know, I'll shoot
again,
him for you.
Did I mention I'm a veteran?
Well, yeah, but right. Nigga, it's gonna happen.
So when we're on the ride, you know, the water breaks at, of course, a very inconvenient time for me. And we go to the hospital. She's dilating, the whole birth thing and all that.
Okay.
And my daughter crowns. And for those of y'all that may not know what that means that the head starts to appear out of the woman.
Okay.
And we still don't know
what
it is.
Your high school sweetheart. We still
We still don't know what the sex of the baby is. And all I see is this mass of hair.
Okay.
And
you are talking about the kid, right?
The kid.
Oh, well, the you kid. Said mass of hair. And shit, you be more specific.
Well, you know what? And you're absolutely right, because black women usually don't take care.
They don't. It's so not a lot of grooming
That's not a bad thought.
It's not, man. That's why I said be more specific.
Black women, cut your bush. There is no bush. It's 2010. It is okay to go to the salon shop.
Don't get that cut
and
up.
And when you're getting your mani, your pedi, you're getting your eyebrows done, just step in that little
up.
Room in the back. You don't have to go Brazilian. There's nothing wrong with a landing strip or something to that magnitude.
Me personally, I am a fan of not necessarily the bare. Can I say apartment grade carpet? Yeah, where it's low.
New York apartment.
There it is. There it is.
Right.
I'm a fan of that.
Like, it's like, you know, you open the door, here's the kitchen, the bathroom, vagina
stubble.
Boom, there it is.
Vagina stubble.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Well,
I see
her crowning.
Okay.
And the doctor invites me over to assist in pulling her out of the womb.
Okay.
And my then wife is looking at me and she goes, what is it?
Okay, okay.
And I said, and I'm twisting, the doctor's telling me how to twist and everything. I said, it's a purple
nice
baby girl.
Okay. You found out you had a girl.
And my whole life changed that very second that I made that statement.
Okay. Now, here it is. Now, we've had this conversation, but I got to act like we never had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Second you had a girl.
Right.
Did all the evil shit you did to women, did that just immediately come to your head?
No.
It didn't?
No.
Now, I've seen you do some shit.
Yes, I have.
So, when did the connection come to the fact that you just had a girl, like one big karma bullet hitting you? Where did the, shit, I try not to throw out names on this because,
right.
Well, you don't want to damage nobody's shit, but.
True that.
Okay, but, the girl you made walk home because your boy, our boy George, needed a ride home. So you made her catch the freight.
Well,
where did the karma bullet come from?
Okay. Let's just be real. George did not need a ride home. George was welcome in my house at any time to stay any time. So whether it was school, whatever, because George's mother and my mother had a very good rapport.
Okay. Okay.
So George's mama knew that my mom would make George go to school. So like it was no beef.
Uh-huh.
It's no issue. George didn't need a ride home. I just thought it would be funny.
Just to make her walk.
Yeah.
Okay, now where does that, like I said, you're just as bad as me, if not worse.
Right.
Where does that Nate meet new father Nate? New beginnings? You sound like a fucking babyface song, Nate. Right. Where does that, where is the line? That's what I'm saying.
In that very moment.
In that, okay.
That I told my then wife that it was a purple, hairy girl.
Okay.
When I made that statement, it was almost like catching the Holy Ghost.
Okay, you know what I mean? Okay, I'm with that.
And we say catching that. I just want the listeners to know. You don't catch the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God always is in you. But it's like when that happened, I just got instilled with powers that I didn't know I had. It was like wisdom and knowledge came to me that I didn't even know existed beyond that point.
Okay, okay.
And once I got to that point, it was, dog, you were dead.
Okay. Now, ever since that moment,
mm-hmm.
it's so weird because I know these stories when I gotta act like I don't. But even though since that point, you've been just A plus dead. I can't say you haven't because shit,
When
I say A plus, nigga, you gonna make mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you didn't.
A lot.
But you own up to it. A lot of niggas just kind of.
Well, no, I don't even own up to it.
What do you mean?
I don't own up to it.
Give me an example where you didn't own up to something you fucked up.
I'm very fortunate to have a now ex-wife.
Okay.
That does not see me as an enemy. She sees me as the father of her children.
I met her. I'm still a little afraid of her. I'm sorry.
And you should be.
I think Tay is great. I should be. I'm still afraid of her.
So am I.
Shit.
I spent all day today with her and.
Did you do that shit, that defensive shit with her when you have your keys in your hand and you interlace the keys in a fist?
No.
I think Tay is a great woman, but I still have the keys interlaced in my hand just in case because she's going to get at me for helping you.
If anything, I feel uncomfortable around her only because she is, you know, I send her a Father's Day card every year. I have since I got divorced from her.
I
send her a Father's Day card every year. Because it is in my opinion that the reason that I'm this phenomenal father that you make me out to be,
okay,
it only exists because of her.
Like I said,
because
you know,
I live 10 hours away from here driving. Yeah, I live 2 hours and 51 minutes flying.
That was my point. The New York to Detroit just commute, and you squeeze that commute into Father of the Year stuff.
Right.
I talk about that. You squeeze 2 months into 3 days.
Yeah.
You have to because of job.
You know how I'm able to do that though?
Go.
My ex-wife told me it was a situation where I had kicked my son's ass over something he did. And he was young. He was like maybe 4 at the time.
All right.
And when I took them home, I told her that he had gotten in trouble and that I had beat him. And that was fine. But when I got back home to New York, I was still living in New York at the time.
Okay.
When I got back there, she called me. She said, you know what? She said, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. She said, you don't live here.
All right.
You're not with your kids every day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk to them every day. You don't write them every day. This was before Facebook. This was before, you know, Deja was old enough to have a cell phone to where I could easily reach her and all that.
Okay.
This was when we literally were writing each other in the mail, old school style.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Tay was mailing me copies of the report cards and stuff like that. She said, because you don't live here, if you keep doing what you're doing, your children are going to see you as an enemy. And you can't afford that, because the enemy as a parent, when you live either with or around the kids, you're able to always recover that to where you get to that point where you can beat the kid, and then no sooner as the whooping is over, you can hug them and give them that love.
Oh, you're good guys. Yeah, always be the good guy.
Right. She's like, what you need to do is just love them up whenever you see them. Correct them when they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
But love them up. Put more love into it than anything. Let me be the villain.
That's pretty good. She took
because
a bullet
they
for you.
Need to know that their father loves them and that he's there for them.
So the Father of the Year persona wasn't necessarily born as it was made.
It was an idea.
It was an idea that took off.
Of Natavia LaShawn Yule Crawford.
Oh. See, that is actual new information to me. I did not know that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've always been the guy who, I don't know if you remember, but I brought Deja before Dallin came along. I brought Deja over your house one day.
Yeah, I remember.
And we had twin outfits. We was dressed just alike. I had her in some Timbos, some jeans, a flannel shirt, and I had put cornrows in her hair. I didn't have cornrows, but I put cornrows in her hair.
Okay.
Man, it looks just like a boy. And it was like the cutest thing. Your mama thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I always did stuff like that. You know, Deja has always had the best of everything. To a certain extent, of course.
Well, it is
right,
what it is.
Because, you know, until I got to New York, I just didn't have I had the Detroit mentality. So, like, spoiling a kid here is like, you know, buying some Timbos. But then, you know, spoiling a kid in New York is, you know, my daughter.
House.
My daughter to this day has teachers jealous of the, because my daughter has a cycle now.
Yeah.
So, like, I make sure that she has purses that can carry everything and whatever. So, you know, she might, you know, who knows? At 8, she might have had, you know, a Juicy Couture bag or
now,
3.
That's the
you
next
know,
question.
She might think that Coach is, like, that's what, like, you know,
it's the norm.
The other people have. Because, you know, we don't do stuff like that.
Okay,
you
know, now
but,
that.
But that's over there.
Now, that's what I want to touch on. Okay, now you establish yourself in the D as the kick-ass dad because of the persona that's now been made by Tay.
Yes.
Something I didn't know. But now when you break it back to New York,
right.
Now this is your turf.
Yes.
This is where everything goes. But in New York, you're a different Nate.
Yes.
You are.
Actually, no.
Hold on. I wouldn't say different. It's variations of it.
I completely
agree. It's a variation of it where you're not necessarily the dad.
You have to know when to turn it on.
You got to turn it on, turn it off.
But I'm a dad in New York also.
You're dead in New York on the grounds where it's more of a business setting, and it's more of a, you're taking care of your own, and you're grooming many yous in lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You're grooming many yous, but then, at nighttime, at fucking dusk, you turn into the toast of the town, where you're miniature Diddy. So, give us a little bit about that, the dad there.
Well, the dad there, raises employees.
Right.
He raises retailers. He teaches them in the way they should go that retail will not soon depart from them.
You motherfucker.
He teaches them that, you know, there's no logical reason that a suit should not have more than 3 buttons. He teaches them that it's 2010 and there's no reason to cuff your pants unless you're wearing a Todd or a pair of churches that you want everyone to see the entire shoe. And even though it's cuffed, it should be at least an inch short.
Okay. Maybe that, I asked that question wrong. You're giving me the what of what you do?
But this is what I teach.
Why? Yeah, I want to know the why of the swagger. Where does swagger come from?
Well, what it is to just, you know,
yeah,
to answer exactly what you asked me, because you asked me, you know, about the dad over there.
Yeah.
The dad over there teaches these people that work for me right from wrong, just on a work level, so that they can grow and progress. Because as long as they grow and progress, just like my children grow and progress.
Okay.
It makes me a better father to them, which is a financial gain on that side.
Okay.
There is no financial gain with me raising my actual biological kids.
Because that's a personal thing.
Right. That's something that I should do because I made the decision to have 2 children.
Okay. Well.
So with these people in New York and in New Jersey.
Okay.
The thing with them is, as I raise them, it makes me money.
Well, yeah.
And who knows? Maybe one day, you know, daddy might need one of, I might need,
may
to
need
reach
one
out
of the
to
kids
one of them.
To fill me out.
Right. I might need one of them. You know, maybe one of them may, you know, prayerfully progress me and go above and beyond. And maybe one day I might work for them, I guess.
So
I
mean, you kind of got to be the good, but, you know, quote unquote, you got to be the good dad. So. It's, you're not burning bridges.
Exactly.
Because exactly. There was a time where you burnt a fucking bridge. You didn't give a fuck. I'll burn a bridge, I'll swim across this motherfucker.
Well,
and
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
But now, that's what I'm saying. And I'm that guy right now. Like, fuck a bridge. Right. And I see where later on I have to become that guy. I have to become that guy, and I gotta start being nice and playing the game and keeping the bridges nice and singe proof.
Exactly.
And shit like that.
Well, it's funny though, because I wanna keep track with what you asked me.
Yeah. We're not jumping on topic, we're just staying with it.
Right. You asked me, you know, I answered your first question as far as the dad over there. Your next question to me was about, you know, you said, where did the swag come from?
Yeah, where did the swag come from?
When I was,
keep in mind, this is an hour show.
Yeah. When I was, wait, does that mean cut it or?
No, I'm just saying, just kind of give a brief description because.
Okay, so I'm
I taking, know this story.
I'm taking too much time.
No,
what you're saying.
I know
like,
the story.
I need to shorten my what I'm saying.
No, don't worry about it. Just go on with it.
Okay.
We're getting post.
When I was in the eighth grade, we were out for Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 2 uncles that have always bought my I have one uncle that always bought my Easter suits, and I have another uncle that, you know, always bought me a bike and some clothes for Christmas.
All right.
Terrell and Sherrod. Sherrod was the Easter guy. Terrell was the Christmas guy. Well, Christmas, 8th grade, I was going to Remus Robinson. I go.
Oh,
in,
you making it real local for the people.
And I are going, I know, shout out to Mr. Washington, principal back then. I'm pretty sure he's dead by now because he was old then. So, you know, I guess God rested dead, whatever. Anyway, I go back to school after Christmas break wearing the outfit that my uncle had got for me. And the teachers are stopping me and they're like, who bought you Calvin Klein?
Keep in mind, this is early 80s.
Early to
mid 80s when Calvin Klein was
mid.
Early to mid 80s when look at somebody trying to date themselves.
So get this. What I didn't realize was I had on a pair of Calvin Klein jeans. Okay.
Okay, I'm still with you.
And I had on a sweater by a company called Tundra, which I thought was the ugliest sweater in the world.
All right.
Eighth grade, mid 80s. Tundra, for those of you that don't know, is an Australian company that weaves a specific type of weave in a sweater.
I didn't know that.
That we now know as a Kuji.
So they were the parent company of Kuji.
No, it's the same company.
Oh, okay. Oh, they just changed
names. In Australia, they were Kuji. In America, they were Tundra.
Oh.
So basically what I'm saying is, I was in the eighth grade, and when I walked into school that first day after Christmas break, I was wearing, in the 80s money, about a $400 outfit.
Okay.
Because whether y'all know it or not, the Kuji shit you're buying now is fake. It is not Kuji. Kuji has been out of business since 1997. The Kuji that is out right now is by some jackass that bought the trademark and is putting it out into Foreman Mills and all these other places that sell it to y'all, that y'all wearing this garbage, not realizing that your body is worth so much more.
I like how you just threw the spirituality. Your body is so much more. Okay, sorry.
I'm just saying. If you don't have the money to look good, guess what?
Don't.
Use what you have. My grandfather told me, if you got one pair of shoes, one suit, one shirt, one tie, you keep it clean, you keep it ironed, you keep it pressed, you look nice, you keep it on your waist, pants on the ground. Why are you walking with your pants on the ground? You don't sag a suit.
Unless it's FUBU.
Even if it's FUBU, you don't sag a suit. I just going off on a tangent.
No, but anyway, I understand.
Basically, yeah, long story short, I had influences as a child from my uncles on how a man should dress and look when he takes pride in himself. And that young swagger turned and evolved. Cause I mean, don't get me wrong. I had puff braids at one time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to wear Lokes every day.
I have to act like I don't know.
When Cypress Hill was hot, when Red Man was hot, I used to wear the flannel inside out with the lumberjack and
fucking
the damn
oak tree.
The damn, who didn't? You know what I'm saying?
Oak tree.
God.
It was oak tree.
Oh my God.
And,
yeah.
It was oak tree.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I'm from, you know, I'm
Urban
born
Outfitters.
And raised Detroit. I'm not one of the people that say I'm from Detroit. And then, you know, after you talk to me, you find out I'm from like Muskegon or some shit like that. It's not like that. I am actually from Detroit
and four,
City.
Dog. And there was four stores back then. It was Oak Tree.
Hot Sam's.
Sermons. Well, if you had
Max
money.
Greens.
No, I'm talking about
for me, it was Hot Sam.
For you, but I'm just saying, as a general, you had Oak Tree, Hot Sam's, JW, and Structure. That shows.
Let me tell you something.
What form where
something.
You were.
And look, Tasha sleep.
Yeah.
Structure still exists.
Structure still exists, but
how?
I'm just saying,
do you know how?
Before.
Do you know how?
How?
Structure was bought by Express.
So the Express men is Structure.
Yes.
Right. But that just shows.
I just want to, you know, say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that
they,
shows.
They have the same designs, everything. Yeah.
if you were the kid, if you were the poser dirty kid, you shop at Oak Tree. If you was the preppy kid, you went to Structure.
No. I shopped at all because, again.
Well, you did.
My uncles.
Yeah.
Took me to Hot Sam's and Sermons or whatever.
Now, that was the
origin. Other places was what my, actually, my regular outfits came from Main Street, which is now Kohl's, because that's where both of my parents worked when I grew up. So
I was
the kid that, you know, I had the school layaway in June. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So yeah.
So your Junes was your Decembers.
Exactly.
Okay. With that.
Exactly.
I came from that too.
So yeah, it's like, you know, you take what you get and you take care of it.
Now you got the backstory from that. Now how did that, you brought that into, lack of a better term, Daddy Nate New York with the females. I talked about this in the last show, that every guy had a gimmick.
Yeah.
And the reason I got you here is because clothes was your gimmick. I was a music dude.
Yeah.
I was a music guru, and I had to make the ambience, and I had to do
ambiance.
Whatever.
Ambiance.
Whatever.
You have a college degree. You say ambiance.
Yeah, I know, but ambiance. Whatever.
You don't know this, but I've paid for part of your college degree.
Yeah, I know.
Nigga, say ambiance.
Yeah, I know. But don't think I do. I do, nigga.
I'm just saying.
There's a reason you own this show, motherfucker.
Ambiance.
But ambiance. I was a music dude, mm-hmm. and you in the fashion game with you. First of all, you're a straight male. Straight male in fashion. That's rare as it is.
No, it's not rare. It's very tough.
What do you mean by tough? Somebody tried to fuck you. Come on! Be that guy, man! Be that guy on the show! Give me some late breaking news. Somebody tried to fuck you.
Well, I get hit on by guys all the time. All the time.
Because okay, what's the first reaction? Do you swing? Do you just immediately spawn them? Or do you, okay, you
actually,
tell me. Classy.
No.
You go classy.
I all I do is talk about my children, and I talk about how I have this beautiful ex-wife.
Faggot.
And I talk about how, you know, I show pictures of the kids, you know, whenever they try to come up like
that's
that.
That's and, even more faggy, you know, than just...
I drink scotch, and then, you know, I might...
No, I drink scotch. We're drinking scotch right now!
Yeah, and we're not gay.
Well, yeah, cause
gay men don't drink scotch, bro.
There's no fruit in this scotch.
Exactly. Scotch is
that
scotch.
A piece of lime in this motherfucker. Yo. Maybe you could look at me differently, but...
Yeah, you'd never put lime... Listeners, you never put lime or anything in scotch.
Look.
Whether it's blended or whatever, don't...
Yeah, we talked about scotch
like
in the last show.
Please don't.
I'm a big liquor guy. We talked about scotch in the last time when we were talking about saving virginity.
Shout out to the single malt.
I am totally for women keeping their virginity for 25 years, mainly because I love scotch.
Mainly because they don't know me.
Well, that's going to happen. Now, that's the point I'm getting at. Because you play the game. You play the game.
Oh, well,
you say what you're supposed to say,
which
is great because I disconnected that a long time ago. I started saying what I feel, burning the bridge, and somehow got married. So...
Yeah.
You still play the game.
Yeah.
They didn't retire your jersey.
No.
And you pulled it back down to play the game.
I don't know if I even told you this, but when I was in the Army, when I was in California, we had a group. Can't call it a gang, because, you know, the military, there's no gangs, quote unquote, in the military.
It was all one big gang, really.
But we had a group called the Pack.
Okay.
PAC, the Players of Alpha Company.
Players of... Okay.
And we had membership cards, we had t-shirts, we used to have barbecues.
That is
and, like, all
gay.
That, you know.
And, now.
That
is so
gay. We just had, like, so many women.
That's Top Gun gay.
It was a good time in my life. But what I learned from that...
Okay.
Is... You don't have to be with a bunch of people to make yourself look good. However, you can make a bunch of people look good
by being with them.
That's it.
Okay, I'm with that.
And I've always been that guy that, like, people say, oh my God, she's fine. Oh my God, man, you see that woman over there? Oh, this and that and the other. And then they're like, where's Nate? Damn, is he talking to her?
Well,
wait, where they going?
But that was the gimmick. That was always your gimmick.
Right.
The gimmick was always the clothes game, because when the last show I talked about the Ed Hardy shirts, I talked
Ed
about...
Ed Hardy?
I talk about him because
anybody
it's a gimmick.
Anybody that makes liquor, don't buy their clothes.
All right. Ed Hardy makes vodka. Well, he does make vodka, but...
Ed Hardy makes wine. Francis Ford Coppola is the only person I will endorse to consume their product, and that's because Francis Ford Coppola makes a particular blend. It's not a Cabernet, it's called a Claret.
Okay.
And it is absolutely awesome. Shout out to Heather Carulli, because she turned me on to it. I love you, Heather. Mwah, smooches.
I gotta throw this one out. I'm a diehard Captain Morgan guy. You know this.
I can tell, because your leg is up.
Oh, hell yeah. I am a diehard Captain Morgan. If this motherfucker come out with a shirt, goddammit, I'm buying it. I mean, if he came out with a line, I'm buying a cap shirt.
Right. But no, just again, to go on record, I do not own a single piece of Ed Hardy merchandise. I bought one shirt.
Well, it was a...
For my daughter.
Well, that's what it is.
God.
That's what it is. It's just bedazzled girl crap.
She was too big to wear it. It was too short on her. It was a t-shirt, but the t-shirt was short. So literally, I use a $300 t-shirt to clean my toilet.
Was that more of a political statement than it was a actual Ed Hardy assessment?
No, it was girl throwing up in your apartment and you need a rag.
I've been there.
That's exactly what it was.
Girl right. throwing up and you need a rag. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. I didn't do this. For those who got other questions, one, just hit at Nate. Please email me at justtalkingwithsam@gmail.com. justtalkingwithsam@gmail.com. Yes, I know. If you look at the time.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time.
Oh, we got 20 minutes left.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I want to jump into, we talked about the dad thing. We talked about the clothes thing.
Right.
The dating scene, which has always evolved.
The dating scene has never evolved.
Yeah, it has.
No, it hasn't.
Hold on.
No, it hasn't.
Well, maybe from the insider, because you hang around you all the time, but I gotta say, the dating scene has evolved, because when you sign those papers that says, I am fully divorced, I'm out of here.
Well, for the record, I didn't sign shit.
What do you mean? You had to sign the shit to be divorced.
No, sir.
Are you divorced?
Yes, I am.
So how
I didn't sign shit.
Oh, she forged it?
I didn't even go to court.
What? How is this possible, dude?
I said I was not coming because I didn't agree with the and to the listeners.
Hold
I'm
on,
quote.
Yeah, he's throwing up
fingers,
air quotes.
The air quotes. I didn't agree with the irreconcilable differences. You're not gonna leave me. And I agree to it just because I didn't wash the dishes. You're not going to leave me.
Oh, shit.
And I agree to it.
See?
Just because when you come home, our child at that time,
yeah,
Deja, is asleep. Because, I mean, if you remember, Sam.
Yeah.
We found out she was pregnant.
During.
After she had filed.
Right.
So. You know, you're not gonna, and most of all, you're not gonna leave me just because you think I'm a bad husband because I can't give you the fairy tale.
Oh, all right, listeners, I hope y'all just heard that. See, what you're seeing, let me tell you what's happening in the studio right now. What's happening is the evil shit, the the first 39 minutes of this fucking podcast, you gave the good Nate. So the last 20 minutes, that's that last evil that just came out right there. No, he was like, I don't give a fuck, nigga. Cause this is the motherfucker I want y'all to see.
There's no evil.
If you're still here, I don't give a fuck, motherfucker. You are not gonna break up with me, motherfucker. Not under these terms.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
Okay.
I never took that attitude. Because my mama taught me, my mama has taught me a lot of lessons, but one thing.
Well, to wait, mama's boy champion in the world.
One thing she taught me that holds true to this day is your life is too valuable for you to be with somebody that does not want to be with you.
So the next question is, when you took this information and moved to the five boroughs.
No, there was a very crucial part that happened in between that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go on. Go on.
When I found out about the divorce.
Okay.
She called me. You know, I get served the papers. I'm not going to say when because I don't want people to think she's a bad person.
So not.
Because she can't, you know.
Legal
she
restrictions.
Pick, no, it's not that. She
you know she's going to stab us because she could hear this shit too.
She couldn't pick when the papers were brought, but they were brought at a very inconvenient time.
Okay, okay.
We'll just say that. And, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Here it comes.
But there was a portion
when sat up.
I said, you know, I'm not mad at you because you left.
Look at that disclaimer. I'm not mad at you
because you left. No. I'm mad at you because you took my daughter, because all we had was my daughter at the time, out of my house. And then, you know, there was that one moment of reconciliation where, you know.
So what was the key? What was the thing that happened in between the time?
The thing that happened in between the time?
Yeah.
I was sitting in my car and my cell phone rings. It's her.
Okay.
She's like, you didn't show up, but I just wanted you to know you're a single man.
Okay. All right. I see.
I said, no.
I see it.
That wasn't the moment. I said, really?
I see it brimming.
She's like, yeah. She's like, you know, unfortunately for me, you and Deja and this child to come, you are. I said, all right.
I think we just hit a breakthrough with this one.
I hung up the phone from her, and I accepted an invitation to go on a cruise.
See, this is where the evil is starting again. Don't want to recognize this shit, but this is where it's coming back.
And I left my cell phone. I left every means of
So you went off the grid. You went off the grid.
Completely off the grid. And it was the best 9 days of my life.
How many angry fucks did those whores on that cruise ship get because of what happened?
Actually, none.
What do you mean to tell me you went on a cruise? You are newly single.
Yeah.
Cruise hidden somewhere between the $600 to $800 range.
Well, no. What we did was we spent 2 days.
There's the origin story right there.
Right. No. Before we even got to the boat, we spent 2 days in Miami.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. In Fort Lauderdale.
Miami. Yeah. Well, close enough.
No.
It's about an hour. It's about an hour.
Drive. Right.
About an hour.
The super stretch excursion that we had to drive on, sitting on 20s when nobody had them.
Okay.
It took us a while to get down there, but needless to say, point being, when I got to the ship, a young lady found me.
Found you.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a fucking sign on you that says find me.
No, I was ordering a Corona on the ship at the bar, and a girl sends me a Corona, and I'm like, you call me a faggot. You got a case of Corona in the fridge.
I have a case of Corona. But if you own a cruise, Corona should be the smallest drink. I'm going on a cruise in October. I guarantee goddamn that's going to be the smallest drink.
No.
Smallest alcohol content.
Some moments in life, a Corona is the only thing you need. And when you're in the middle of the ocean.
Sam Adams guy.
No, that when hard. You're no, when you're in the middle of the ocean.
Okay.
And you're living a Corona commercial. The moment hits
you,
technically
you are, yes.
To have a Corona. Anyway, young lady walks up.
Nobody had Heineken.
She's like, she's beautiful, number one, first and foremost. And she's like,
you know, she's not listening.
I don't care.
Okay, I just got to throw it out there.
Some, I
you threw out that disclaimer. Like she's somebody, beautiful.
Somebody needs to hear it.
All right.
So, because I've never dated an ugly woman other than Maria.
Damn, you just ruined it. You almost went the show without saying the woman you just hold for years.
So, the thing is,
fucking bridge burner.
She comes up to me. She asked me to marry her for a week. She's like, you know, I'll be with you for the week that we on this ship. Blah blah blah, and it was great because she was white.
Well, oh Jesus. Just talking with Sam at gmail.com.
I didn't have to do it, dude.
Just talking with Sam. Oh Jesus, the amount of hate mail I'm thinking.
I spent no money.
All because she was white.
Dude, you can't spend money on a cruise.
You was the OJ without isotopes.
Everything gets charged to your room or whatever. But it's like, dude, she was banging. Anyway.
Okay, hold on. You know what? You said this. I gotta ask. Mm-hmm. Shortest answer you can give. Difference between a sister and a white woman. Granted, I've had both. I've been on. I can admit that.
You went to EMU.
I had to.
Exactly.
I just want to hear from someone else. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Shortest answer possible.
Shortest answer possible.
It's very simple.
Okay.
No drama.
Alright, you have just now increased my hate mail by sevenfold.
The drama that you do get is from your people.
This motherfucker tried.
The drama you get is from your people.
Just talk with Sam at gmail.com.
No, it is. It's from your people.
Okay.
Because, guess what?
I'm listening.
And you know what? I'm wrong. Because for her, it was her people. And when I got back, I dated a white girl, Crystal. Did you remember Crystal?
I gotta act like I do because it's a radio.
Right.
But yes.
Crystal's the only woman that was accepted by my ex-wife that I dated after we were divorced.
And you broke the
record. And she met my kids.
And you
my
broke
family.
The color barrier.
And I broke the color barrier in my family and hers. So, well, kind of sort of in my family.
You know, Sidney Poitier.
Exactly. Guess who's coming to dinner?
No,
you know what
shit.
But the thing is,
did you whip it out on the table? Just let them see it.
Nah.
This is what nine's supposed to look like, motherfucker.
But the thing is this: the difference, in all honesty, the difference between dating, you know, anyone other than a black woman when you're black,
okay,
is that because she does not understand where you come from, she's interested. So everything you say and do is interesting to her.
Because it's new.
Because it's not new. Because guaranteed, if a white girl wants to date you, or if a Spanish girl wants to date you, she's dated somebody other than you before.
Oh, that's Spanish. Boy, that... So, never mind. You got me flashbacking.
Right,
that's Spanish.
Right. So the thing is, they're more concerned about what's going on with you mentally than what's going on with you with your background, because they read, they study, they do all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the short, I would say the difference is that she's interested in you and she doesn't bring a lot of bullshit to you because she wants to know about you. She's all about you.
Like I said.
Whereas the black woman, because she knows you and because, you know, you look like her baby daddy or you look like her daddy that ain't there or you look like granddaddy who beat grandmama, or whatever, you get the pain and the brute of all of the bullshit that
so
she got carried
forwarded
through.
Forwarded all of these emails.
So that you know, that's where that comes from.
Just talk with Sam at gmail.com. Just go ahead. We got time left. I gotta throw it out. Nate Crawford, friend of the show. If you want to throw it out, any plugs you want to give, get a couple more Facebook friends. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to find me on Facebook, it's full of white girls, so if you know if that pissed you off, I'm sorry, but you know what? If it pissed you off, honestly, I wouldn't date you in the first place, so it's all good. Nathaniel Crawford is my name. You can find me. My page ain't private. It's all, you know, it's all good. It's all love. Because guess what? Love conquers all, whether you realize it or not. And the sooner y'all realize it, the sooner this city, the sooner your life will turn around. Because the problem with black people is that we don't love each other. We don't. We talk about our hair. We talk about this. We talk about that. She got this, so she ain't nothing. He got this, he ain't nothing. Guess what? I'm sitting in my brother's house.
Yeah.
On this podcast. And I am more, and I'm going to use broken English at this point. I'm sorry. I am more prouder of him than I am of a lot of people that I know that are blood related to
him. I am so printing that shit.
Because guess what? He didn't talk about it. He was about it. He did it. He made it happen in spite of anything anybody ever said to him. What's your excuse, you jackass? What's your excuse? Why are you sitting here listening to this podcast?
Hey, nigga, I got fans.
instead of doing what you know you should be doing for yourself. But you know what? You're here because guess what? You're supposed to be. Because my aura is so auspicious that I command respect. And I command an audience that will learn something from this man that's sitting right next to me.
I feel good about that one.
Sam is somebody who has helped me through everything because he's the most morbid person I know. Sam, man, my wife just left me. All right, nigga, find another one. Sam, man, you know what I'm gonna do, man? I'm living over here on the East Coast. I got kids over here. All right, nigga, raise. Sam, man, you know, dog, I thought I had made it, man. I'm got my office in New York City. I'm doing big things. They told me I was fired. So get another job, nigga.
And with
it's
that,
just that easy.
And with that, we gonna end it. Friend of the show, Nate Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Find him at Nathaniel Crawford at Facebook. As always, you get me at justtalkwithsam@gmail.com. Spotlight Showcase, Just Talk with Sam Showcase. Nate Crawford, let me hear it one more time. Just give it for him. And with that,
sounds so beautiful, don't you agree?
Next Tuesday, I'll holler at y'all. Y'all have a week.